Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle, watch us. MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, 3R Recycling is having an auction for crushers, body, van body trailers, port-a-cools, vending equipment, ladders, racking, cabinets, tools, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Good morning. How are you?
Top of the morning. Good. Boring basketball. Horrible postseason. Very uninteresting.
Wow. You're just coming out firing.
Hoping for more tonight as I invest a little into the Stanley Cup final.
Okay.
But it has been, can I just say, about a blankety-blank postseason so far for these winter sports?
Which cuss word is blankety? Which cuss word is blank?
Well, I don't know. Be creative.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do. Basketball has not been good.
Okay.
When was the last good final we had? Bucks? Who were the Bucks with? The Warriors?
They were with Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's right. That was a 4-2 series. Maybe then. We haven't had a good final forever.
By the way, why is the PH silent? Why not just call it FENIX? Why do you have to confuse everybody?
Hadn't thought about that.
I just thought about it now.
Well, that's the responsibility of the untamed mind.
It certainly is. By the way, happy anniversary to my beautiful bride.
Oh, congratulations, you guys.
Don't congratulate me. Congratulate her for making a very poor decision.
Well, she didn't think so, and that's the important thing.
I'm a very good salesman.
Well,
what can I tell you? If I can convince her to marry me, clearly I know how to sell.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of.
No, I'm not a big deal. That's what's so ironic. If I was a big deal, it would have been probably the easiest sell of my life.
Well, congratulations. It's really neat. I'm glad you guys had last weekend.
Yep.
And hopefully you get some time this week as well. But that's always a fun thing to mark the passing of time with.
It is. And you think, where was I at this time on our anniversary? Where was I at this time on our anniversary? Yeah. On that day of.
Yeah, that's right.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
I think once the Nuggets season ended, we talked about potential trades. Now we really haven't talked about it that much. As for the national media, they are now talking about it. So with that, trade rumors, Michael Porter Jr., Andy Bailey of Bleacher Report speculated about the possibility of a huge three-way trade involving the Nuggets, Atlanta Hawks, Orlando Magic. So what does Bailey think the Nuggets can do? What can they get in return for Michael Porter Jr.? Well, MPJ would be going to the Magic and their first-round pick. What do the Nuggets get in return? Well, the Nuggets get back Jonathan Isaac from Orlando and Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Hawks. Orlando would end up with Trae Young, Michael Porter Jr. Hawks would get 4 first-round picks, one of them coming from the Nuggets, Cole Anthony and Anthony Black. You like this? Does this make sense to you?
I don't know if it makes sense. Is there a departure from making sense and intriguing? It's intriguing. Isaac is a defensive guy. Bogdanovic is a scorer, and on top of it, a countryman of Nikola Jokic.
And they were just pictured together at a horse race.
In fact, they're playing together on the Olympic team.
That's right.
That will open with the United States in Paris. It's intriguing. You know, I don't know. How are you feeling about the... I guess if there's going to be a trade,
yep,
it's going to be with Michael Porter Jr., right?
You would think because of the salary.
Right.
Let's see what happens with KCP. I believe the Nuggets do want to bring him back.
And by the way, they can start that process
yep
now.
Mm-hmm.
With the win last night and that bogus NBA final game five that we had.
Why is it bogus?
Yeah, well, congratulations to the Celtics.
You're from Boston.
Yeah, but I don't. But as I've said again, the only team from Boston that I care about are the Red Sox. Right here. Every day, the Red Sox.
Right.
That's what I care about.
I thought the B stood for bozo.
It could.
Yeah.
But I'm not a Patriots fan.
All right.
I'm not a Bruins fan.
Yeah.
I'm really not. I'm not a Celtics fan.
All right.
Is there team tennis there? I'm not a fan of that either.
All right, let's get back to the Nuggets. This trade makes absolutely no sense.
No sense at all.
Zero. I'm going to tell you why.
It intrigues me slight. It's always intriguing.
Doesn't intrigue me at all.
It intrigues me because you guys out there are looking for pieces. And you get a scoring piece, you get a defensive piece.
Okay, let me explain. Tell me if this makes sense with the way I lay this out.
Go.
You make this trade, you've already given up on KCP. He's not coming back. Right?
I think
you don't need two shooting guards.
I think if you make this trade, he's probably staying.
KCP is.
I think so.
Okay, fine. Let's keep him here. So you have Bogdanovich coming off the bench, and you have KCP. And who is your starting small forward? It is sure as hell not Isaac.
No.
So who is it? Is it Peyton Watson? Is it Christian Brown at 6'5"? Who is it?
Did you see that Christian Brown and Nikola Jokic had the highest ratings of the two-man combination for the Nuggets, even more than Jamal Murray?
That's super cool. So who's your starting small forward? Who's your starting small forward?
Well, based on what you have right now, it would probably be Peyton Watson. Based on what you have right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now, Isaac is a better defensive player.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. So.
And Isaac is a better offensive player.
Yeah. So that's.
So Isaac is your start. By the way, he is really more of a power forward than a small forward.
He is.
So you're taking a guy and putting him out of position who's not a very good scorer, is very good defensively.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I'd pull the trigger on it.
I wouldn't even think about it.
I think the intrigue is where I like seeing where people think the sweet spot is for the Nuggets. Like, where do you come up with this combination? This is like if I sat down with a couple of beers and said, okay, I got to figure out a reasonable trade partner and something that would float the boat in return for Michael Porter Jr. and a first-round pick, by the way.
Right.
And this is probably where my departure. I'm not wild about giving up a first-round pick because I think the Nuggets need to use a first-round pick.
The 28th
pick. I think they need to use it intelligently.
They're young enough. They're young enough.
They need to use it. Well, I think that they've got to find something behind Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So.
And what have they accomplished?
Well, I mean, you got to find something behind Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have that player right now, right?
When I see trades like this, I think to myself, okay, the person proposing this, where are they from? Are one of the teams in this trade their team?
That's a good question.
Sounds to me like this guy might like Orlando a little bit.
Well,
because they get Trae Young and Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
That's not bad.
And the Nuggets get a guy who's a defensive player, okay, who is not going to replace the guy that you just traded.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have someone to literally replace him. And now you have two shooting guards, one who's 31, who does score. But he's probably coming off the bench.
Not bad off the bench, though. That's a pretty good guy off the bench.
Your starting lineup has an enormous hole.
Not if you keep KCP.
It does, and I'm going to tell you
And you lose
I'm going to tell you why it has a huge hole. for as much as Michael Porter Jr. has been inconsistent, KCP is not a scorer. He can score. He can shoot.
No, but he's not. But that's not his.
But you are asking him to do more now on the offensive end. And then you are asking Aaron Gordon to do more on the offensive end. I'm not suggesting Aaron Gordon can't, but he's in a perfect spot where you want him out there defensively. He certainly can score, but you don't ever want to look at Aaron Gordon, I don't think. And that's the luxury of him. You don't want to look at him and say, you need to average 16 points a game.
Which is exactly what he was coming from Orlando.
Because,
exactly.
Well, he was the focal point.
Right.
When he was drafted, he was a top five pick. And the reason why Orlando got frustrated with him was they overvalued how good he was offensively. But because he was such a high pick, they expected him to be a big-time scorer. And he just wasn't.
No.
That's not his game. So you're asking your two best defensive players to step up their game offensively. I'm not suggesting they cannot do it, but I think it's a pretty decent ask, knowing you will have a major hole at small forward.
And then
really, the key to the deal is a guy coming off your bench. Unless you're going to start KCP and Bogdanović. You can do that 6'5", 6'5". How's that sound?
KCP's already a starter. You probably go with what's Isaac? 6'8"?
6'10".
6'10"?
He's 6'10", 230. He's a power forward.
Yeah.
You're playing him out of position. Small forwards need to be able to step behind the 3-point line and score.
Yeah. Well,
it makes no sense. And, oh, by the way, if they bring in Bogdanović, it makes no sense to bring back KCP.
I think they're going to bring back KCP.
I think so, too.
I do.
So, Andy, I hope you got season tickets again for the Magic. Because Bogdanović, the thing that makes the most sense about this trade is Bogdanović and Jokic are good friends.
That's it.
Gotcha.
Right.
With that. That does make sense to me. However, you're not keeping KCP if you bring in Bogdanović. He's the key to the deal.
Yeah.
You're not bringing in the key to your deal to come off the bench. So KCP is not going to come back. Now, if you're telling me, Andy, that they're going to use KCP's money to find a small forward at $15 million a year, that's something I'd like to see. If you know something that I don't, or you're watching things that I'm not watching, that Peyton Watson is ready to be a starting small forward on this team, or Christian Brown is, then maybe you know more about basketball than I do.
Yeah, I don't think that this... I think that everyone is trying to find... I think Michael Porter Jr. is about as intriguing a trade proposition.
Not for that.
For people on the national scene. I think that they look at Michael Porter Jr. They see an unfinished product, but a guy with still remarkably high upside who can be a big time scorer on a team. But they're trying to kind of force this narrative on the Nuggets, who I just don't think are in any hurry to trade Michael Porter Jr.
Calvin Booth is not eager to trade him.
I don't think they are.
If they get blown away by something, I think they will.
Right.
And if they sort of get blown, well, they might. This is not the trade that does it.
Donovan Mitchell is in the midst of trying to get, and the Cavs are trying to get things figured out there. It would be much more conceivable to me to see Jarrett Allen, Caris LeVert,
yes,
traded than, and that would be more even intriguing. I'll use that word again. More intriguing. That would be one that I would have to look at and say, okay, these pieces fit a little bit better for me. They fit a little bit better. You can plug and play without kind of trying to chisel some of the edges to make it fit in the puzzle. So, but
I'll give you a guy I'd rather have. Okay? You want to make a trade with Atlanta? Bogdanovich and Clint Capella. That makes sense to me.
Sure.
Because now you have a backup center to Jokic. Mm-hmm. However, you still don't have a small forward.
Yeah.
And you don't have one with Isaac either. Coming up after the break, well, now the Boston Celtics stand alone in basketball. Where do they rank among the best franchises in North America? And something else that I was thinking about, the city of Boston, and they might play second fiddle, and they do believe that, well, we're better than New York, and they have a big chip on their shoulder, right?
Easy, folks.
Boston is
yeah.
better than New York, and it's not close. That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, 3-Hour Recycling. Having an auction for crushers, porticools, vending equipment, ladders, cabinets, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, Sasquatch and Wildcard Casinos up in Blackhawk. Another great promotion giving away a new Sea-Doo RXP 300 or a little over $15,000 in cash the weekend of July 13th. Get finalist entries every hour from 10 a.m. until midnight during their daily cash drawings. And if you don't win that daily cash drawing, no problem. Next day, which is Wednesday, they have a second chance drawing, which can earn you up to $7,000. Sasquatch and Wildcard Casinos, a family-owned casino that treats you like family. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Paramount Siding and Windows. Paramount Siding and Windows, it's quality in everything they do. Find them at ParamountSidingandWindows.com.
Unless you had your television on mute yesterday watching the NBA Finals, I'm guessing by now you know the Celtics have the most NBA titles in the history of the league. They have 18. Lakers have 17. With that, the Yankees in North America have the most titles total, 27. Canadians, 23. Celtics in the NBA, 18. The Packers in the NFL have 13.
Yankees, those are your leaders.
Yankees still the best?
Hard to argue with 27 banners, right?
And over the course of time.
Exactly.
It's not like the Patriots who won all those titles over two decades.
Correct. Although that does kind of change the focus of, do you look, I have to look at things in totality, right? So you look at the Yankees basically from the modern age of Major League Baseball, which is generally subscribed to as 1901.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees have clearly been the dominant force through Major League Baseball. But then when you get something like the Celtics and the Lakers, like who's been the Yang for the Yankees? The yin and the yang in the NBA has been the Celtics and the Lakers. The Lakers and the Celtics, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're on different coasts, but they're tied together through so many different years. From Russell to Wilt to Bird to Magic. They played each other 12 times. 12 times in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the two most successful franchises that the NBA has ever produced. There's value in that for me. that would compare to the Yankees. There have really been no great challengers for the Yankees. They've been a great franchise unto themselves, right?
Yep.
They were. There really hasn't been a team. I mean, the Red Sox have won 9 World Series along with the A's, but they really haven't been a great challenger for the Yankees over the years. So I think I could make an argument for the Celtics and the Lakers. The Celtics, obviously now with 18 titles, being the most successful franchise, maybe in North America. The Canadiens is one I don't know how to judge quite as much.
Well, they've had a pretty long drought.
They have had a long drought. They haven't won one since 1993.
And remember, when they were winning titles, it was the original 6.
Yeah, it was 6 teams, right?
Right.
And I know that their rivalry with Toronto, and talk about the...
They've played each other, so you know, for the Cup title 5 times.
Yeah. Which is...
And for the Lakers and the Celtics, how many? 12?
12.
I'll tell you one thing. For New York fans... Boston's your daddy on every single level.
Love hearing that.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
But let's New York has 2 teams compared to 1. Let's just go through it quickly. Which franchise is better? The Patriots or the Giants/Jets?
Patriots.
Now, let's take it another level. Pick the best player from each team. Best Giants player of all time, best Jets player of all time, best Patriots player of all time. Who wins that one?
Patriots.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Okay. In baseball, it is clearly the Yankees.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So we didn't even need to talk about baseball anymore. So now we're even. We're tied at 1, right?
Okay. Yep.
Now let's go to the Knicks, who only have 1 team, and the Celtics. Which team is better?
Well, the Celtics by about 18
pick
times.
Pick the best player ever off the Knicks. Pick the best player ever off the Celtics. Who wins that one? Bird and Walt Frazier? Who do you want to pick?
Well, Bird or Russell or, I mean.
Any of them. So I now mean, it's 2-1.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the tiebreak. Bruins versus the Rangers and the Islanders.
Ooh, Islanders, Al Arbor. They've got, what, they have 4 cups?
Yeah. Okay.
Rangers have 1.
Yeah.
With Messier.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yep. Let's see. How many titles?
I think that's more of a wash, or maybe New York is slightly ahead just because of the Islanders. Maybe.
Nope.
I don't know. Am I wrong?
Bruins have won the cup 6 times.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. And they won most recently in 2011. So let's pick the best players off those teams. Messier, who was a rental.
Yes.
Messier was an
Oiler. He was an Edmonton
Mark
player.
Messier is a top 5 player of all time. But he is more of an Oiler than he is a Ranger.
Well, I don't think of him as a Ranger hardly at all.
Okay. One of his defining moments came with the Rangers.
It certainly did.
Then you look at the Islanders. Denny Potvin, okay, might be the best player. Mike Bossy might be the best player. Or Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
Boston wins 3-1.
Yeah.
Wins the player battle 3-1. More titles, more everything. Except when, if you add up all the titles together, the Yankees beat everybody.
They do. They do, which makes it... And if you don't live in that corridor or haven't lived in the corridor, you don't understand. You're tired of it. You get sick of Yankees-Red Sox on Sunday night baseball. You get tired of...
Like this past Sunday?
Yeah. Red Sox won, by the way, which is nice. But you don't get a sense for the rivalry between the two cities. And there's a little bit of a dismissive nature by New Yorkers because that's just New Yorkers. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine.
You can have your Yankees. That's the only team you've got.
That's it.
Other than that, Boston is better.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And New York has basically two teams to one, and they still lose. Outside of the Knicks.
Do you think automatically of the Yankees as being the best franchise in North American history?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do too. And that's swallowing hard saying that. But you got to give them their due. But the way that you shape it from a standpoint of the cities,
yeah,
makes good sense. Overall, it's hard to compete against
Boston. Is the greatest sports city of all time. Like it or not, it's just a fact.
Okay.
Isn't it?
I'm fine with that.
Well, you're from there, but you're not. But you're only a fan of.
But
one
I'm
team.
Only a. Isn't that odd?
Right.
And the one that was the longest suffering. I don't know. Maybe it's just my connection to the game of baseball. Maybe it was my dad. My dad was a huge dyed-in-the-wool Red Sox fan.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Coming up after the break, the Olympics are coming up fast, and the Olympic men's golf team has been named, and one guy is noticeably absent from making the team to really no fault of his own, although you can make the case he's responsible himself for not being on it. That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman, Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, 3-Hour Recycling having an auction for crushers, van body trailers, porta-cools, racking cabinets, tools, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
Okay, Olympics are coming up later this summer in Paris, and the U.S. Olympic men's golf team has been announced. Scottie Scheffler, no surprise. Xander Schauffele is on the team. Wyndham Clark, good for him, local guy, is on the team, and so is Colin Morikawa. To qualify for the men's team, a player must check a couple of boxes. One of them, and this is the big one, you got to be top 15 in the Olympic World Golf Rankings. Here's the problem. The LIV Tour does not participate in this portion of what would help you qualify.
Swing and a miss.
Bryson DeChambeau did not qualify. Let's look at what he has done so far this year. Just won the U.S. Open, second at the PGA Championship, tied for sixth at the Masters. I'm not saying does this bother you, but is something a little amiss about this to you?
Well, yeah, and you know who the odd guy out of that group would be?
Yes, it would be Wyndham Clark.
Right, clearly would be Wyndham Clark.
Although he is ahead of Colin Morikawa when it comes to the Olympic World Golf Rankings.
Right, but hasn't been playing as well.
Right.
He hasn't played well lately at all.
No.
But I'm really happy for him. I'm glad that he's there. I'm not losing any sleep over the U.S. men's golf team, which, I don't know, golf to me is a little bit of a force of an event. But I guess I'm okay, fine. But DeChambeau is obviously a guy that should be on that. Your eyes just tell you that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's playing better in the world right now than Bryson DeChambeau.
You could make the case, at worst, he is the second best golfer in the world right now.
Right. Yeah.
And he's not on the team. I understand why, but here's the thing. Now there's a partnership between the PGA and LIV Golf.
Yeah.
So why, when the partnership happened, didn't they make this transition? If you're allowed to play in the majors and the PGA is allowing that, although the PGA doesn't run the Open. The PGA doesn't run.
That's USGA, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So,
but if there is a partnership, why not do that? And I don't even know. Maybe you know. Can LIV golfers play on the Ryder Cup team? I don't know. I know they couldn't when it first began, when the LIV Tour started.
Yeah, this would have been a loophole or some or a pothole that should have been covered, right? I mean,
you would think.
I mean, you've got some pretty good dudes over there on the LIV Tour. You know, so
top end guys, yeah.
Top end guys that might be available for something like this. Like I said, I think like you, I'm not going to lose any sleep over
it. Send your best.
But yeah, if you're going to
send your best.
Yeah, right.
And this Bryson DeChambeau is one of the best.
Right.
Send him. When this whole thing started, this LIV Tour, there were a lot of people, including me, I think including you as well, because it was Saudi-backed.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't sit well with me. I know it didn't sit well with you.
No.
But has that cooled a little bit on your end?
Probably.
Me too.
Probably. Yeah.
I know where the money is coming from.
Yeah.
I get it. But the truth is, I don't watch it.
Ever.
No.
Not like
And it's
ever.
On your network, the station
it
you
is?
Work for.
What is it on? The CW?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The former Frog Network.
Well, the UFL is on Fox.
Right.
I watch pickleball on Fox before I watch the UFL.
Right. Well, I'm talking about LIV.
I know. Well, LIV doesn't even, I don't care if it was the only thing on that night. If the only thing against it were reruns of ALF, I'd be watching ALF over the LIV golf tour.
Yeah, me too.
It just doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
Just doesn't.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Watching any golf, honestly, outside of the majors doesn't appeal to me either.
No, I've changed that way. I used to be a pretty good golfing viewer.
Right.
I don't know what happened to me. I mean, and you're, and I don't, well, what happened to me is that I don't play anymore.
Right. I mean, there are, what makes the majors different than all the other events on the PGA Tour is the best players in the world are playing.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
But a traditional run-of-the-mill PGA Tour event, you are not necessarily getting the best golfers out
And
there.
The setups are more intriguing for viewers to watch difficult setups and watch the best players in the world at times struggle with where they're going to put the ball, the tight spots that you get every now and then.
Because it makes you feel better about yourself. I know. No one's going out there and shooting 21 under. That's a guy like me and you.
Right.
Although at the Masters, you can get pretty low.
You can.
You can get pretty low at the PGA. You can get pretty low at the Open. It's the U.S. Open where you don't get low.
No. Right. And the Open is cool because it looks so different. Still, even after all these years, there's something about watching golf first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And the link style looks always so different on
putting
your
from
TV.
Putting from 150 yards away.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, right. And I think that you're American Golf Guy, which is a...
I'm married to someone where the sport was born.
Yes.
So.
It's Scottish.
That's crap.
Right? So.
I'm going to pick a fight, you wee shite.
Gonna go play a little at St. Andrews on the old course, where Tom Morris took out the sticks and banged the ball around. I have never played over there, and I've
been there. Meaning, I was supposed to play St. No, it was okay. I'll tell you why, and
okay.
I'll be brief with this story. So I played Glen Eagles because that's where Mandy's father used to be a pro.
Isn't that cool?
So we played over there. And then Graham and I were going to play St. Andrews. It's, by the way, for those that don't know, it's a public course.
Mm-hmm.
You can book a tee time there.
Sure.
So we were going to play with a couple of members of what is referred to as the RNA, which is Royal and Ancient. So we were going to play, and I know it seems surprising when I say this, but the day we were supposed to play, it was raining and windy. Very, very unlike the weather out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always sunny out
yeah,
there.
Always.
So to catch a day where it was raining was really shocking. Yeah. Or as she would say, shocking.
Was it raining so much that it was obviously a no chance to play?
It was not a day you'd want to go out and play golf.
Yeah, I hear you.
With that, because we were with two members, we were able to go into the RNA.
Which had to have been cool.
Which you cannot go into right. unless you're a member. And the history there is something special. So we went in, we had lunch, we hung out, we went into like the different rooms, and we just sat and talked and had cocktails. So if I had my choice, would I rather play St. Andrews or spend the day in the RNA? I'll take the day in the RNA.
Yeah,
because I can book a tee time.
Yep.
I can't walk through that front door.
That's the one regret that I have golfing-wise with my dad. We've played some really great golf courses, but we never got over there and played. And that's too bad.
Yeah.
But so it goes. I am going to go to a open at some point because I've got a wife who's really cool on a lot of different levels, but she likes to go to golf tournaments.
Well, let's be honest here. If it's not paired to the Bruce Springsteen concert, you're not going.
No.
Is he playing in Croatia?
He played at Circus Maximus in Rome two nights ago.
By the way,
is where I've seen him before.
Did you see the 60 Minutes?
On Steve Van Zandt?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw pieces of it.
And they were with him when Bruce and the E Street Band were performing there.
Circus Maximus is an amazing place.
And by the way, you will disagree with me, and that's cool.
Oh, okay.
But Stevie and I are in one camp. And you're in the other camp. Stevie Van Zandt left the E Street Band when that garbage album, Born in the USA, came out. And good for him for not selling out to be pop. And then came back when Bruce, to me, was Bruce.
An awful lot of good songs on that album that are not poppy.
I understand, but it was meant to sell records. And I say records because that's what they were back then.
Mm-hmm.
Or compact discs. To me, Bruce Springsteen is and will always be The River, Darkness on the Edge of Town, Greetings from Asbury Park. And then once he said, you know what? I'm going to cross over. Stevie sided with me and said, I'm out. Philosophical differences.
Yeah, guess what? He got back. So it's all good.
Well, that's because The Sopranos ended. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
The announcement of NBA Finals MVP didn't come without controversy, and a longtime veteran of the sport finally gets rewarded. We'll talk about it next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, 3-Hour Recycling Center. Having an auction for crushers, equipment, ladders, racking, cabinets, tools, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfields has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, Jason Tatum led his team in playoff scoring, rebounding, and assists. Only the sixth player in NBA history to achieve this feat. But he's the only one to not win Finals MVP, as Jaylen Brown took home those honors instead. Should Brown have won Finals MVP over Tatum?
You know, he was the guy that commanded the most attention for me in watching this series. I felt like Jaylen Brown was the best player on the floor throughout this series, whenever Luka Doncic wasn't, which should be fine. I mean, Jason Tatum's an NBA champion now. His profile changes forever. So good for him. Didn't get an NBA MVP. I don't know how much that bothers him or not, but I was fine with Jaylen Brown's the guy I would have picked. I don't know about you.
Oh, so you don't have a problem with it?
No, I don't have a problem with it at all.
If that's what you were saying.
I am. Didn't you think Jaylen Brown was the best player on the floor consistently? Who did you think was the best player? Who do you pay the most attention to?
Okay. When it comes to hard numbers,
mm-hmm.
scoring,
yes.
Who was better? Jason Tatum.
Tatum.
Okay. When it came to assists, who was better?
Tatum.
When it came to rebounds, who was better? And I'm just talking the finals. I'm not talking about the entire. However, and this is the difference. Jason Tatum threw up a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown was far more efficient. Far more efficient. In the finals, Jason Tatum, which seems shocking, shot 39% from the floor. His three-point percentage was 26%. At the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. Jason Tatum is probably the best player on that team. But remember, this is a finals MVP. This is not a full playoffs MVP.
Yeah.
So when you look at Jaylen Brown, his first three games, he shot over 53%. Last two games, not as much. Rebounding and assist, Jason Tatum was better.
But defensively, Jaylen Brown was off the charts.
And three-point shooting, neither guy was particularly good.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, Jaylen Brown, it was, to me, the more noticeable guy in that series.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Alrighty, just in case you missed it, Celtics big man Al Horford had previously played the second most playoff games in NBA history for a player without a championship. That has now changed with Boston coming out on top. Which active player in any sport do you want to see win a title that hasn't already done it?
Something just popped into my head, but you go first.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I don't know.
Mike Trout.
Yeah. They haven't even been close. Like, you need to get to the playoffs before you can even have a chance.
You can make the case that Mike Trout is a top 10 player to ever play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout, right off the top of my head.
Pretty good. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. I'd have to think about that one for a minute. I'm trying to think of an NFL player that's never sniffed.
I'll give you a player who's actually better than Mike Trout is at baseball, who hasn't won a title. Connor McDavid.
Yeah. He ain't going to win one either.
No, he's not this year. He's not.
Nope.
Connor McDavid, I believe, currently is the best player in sports to have not won a title. And I'm saying that very flippantly, very quickly, without giving it much thought. However, as I'm thinking about it, and I don't have a lot of time because we're about to hit a break, I can't think of somebody that quickly who would be better than Connor McDavid, who has played as long as he has, that has not won a title that's better than McDavid at the sport that he is in over McDavid.
It's hard to imagine that. And I would ask the question, is Connor McDavid ever going to win a... I just... That team is not made to win a championship.
They're pretty top heavy in their salary.
They sure are.
And they've never been great defensively.
Right?
And they've never had great goaltending.
And all the things that you have taught me about it.
Oh, please.
Depth and lines and all of the things like that. They're just top heavy.
Right.
And on top of it, McDavid and Draisaitl haven't been dominant offensively in
outside
this
of the last game.
Outside of the last game, right?
I think McDavid had three assists. Draisaitl if he had one assist, that would have been a lot.
Yeah.
Nugent Hopkins was blanked on the scoreboard.
They'd been non-factors.
That's right.
Tough.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can walk into any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. They also have a price match guarantee as well. Great financing options, Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. I'm not necessarily going to call it the silly season, but in any off season, we talk about trades. And this guy said this, and this guy said this. Well, there's a proposal on the table. Why? Because salaries add up, and you could make the deal if you want to. So does this idea of a deal make sense for the Nuggets when it comes to trading Michael Porter Jr.? Interesting idea. That's next.